We ended yesterday at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet with this strange pasuk about the Nahar Dinur and how from Nahar Dinur coming out from there, these Elef Alafim, Yishamshune, Virabu, Rivan, Kadamuhi, Yukumun, and all these angels that are numbered. And that was the whole issue. How could they be numbered? There's no number. Engidlu Dudab Mispar. And then they try to say that either, right, one of the answers was that they were coming out of Nahar Dinur, that it was just the number of the angels, right? There were different answers given. One was, that's the amount in Ugdud, and one said that was from before Beit HaMikdash Kayam, and one was after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So the last one said that, these were the numbers of angels that were coming out of Nahar Dinur. Okay, so now they're going to explain, right? Mehechan nafik, mezeatan shel chayot, ulehechan shafich, amar marzu chobar tuvia amar rav, arashe rasha'im begehenom. So let's read this again. Shenemar, hine sarat Hashem chema yatza, v'sar mitcholel arosh rasha'im yachul. Okay, so this sa'ara is coming out, this anger out of God, and a sa'ara is going on, and onto the heads of the rasha'im they're going to be. Rab Acha bar Yaakov Amar, like, what's this all about, right? What's coming out of Nahar Dinur, and they're coming onto the Rosh Rasha'im? Rab Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Al Asher Kumtu, because they were cut off. Okay, what does that mean? Shenemar, Asher Kumtu velo eit Nahar Yutzak Yisodam. Okay, Asher Kumtu, really it should read like this, Asher Kumtu velo eit. This is a pasuk from Eov. Okay, that's why whenever you see a pasuk that looks really hard to understand what the pshat is, it's usually from Eov. that they were cut off, not in their time. Nahar yutzak yisodam. The nahar was yitzikaz, like when you pour a mold, right? So the nahar created their yisod, or we'll see that it's unclear exactly how you understand the connection between these words. So Tanya, now we're going to have a brayta that explains what this means. Amar Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, Eilu 974 dorot shekumtu lihibarot kodem shenivra ha'olam velo nivru'u. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shtalam b'chol dor v'dor v'hen hen azei panim shebedor. Okay. Asher tziva le'elef dor, you know that pasuk? Asher tziva le'elef dor. So what do they explain that means? That means that the Torah was supposed to be given in the 1,000th generation. Have you ever heard this? Okay. It was supposed to be given... I never heard this either. It was supposed to be given in the 1,000th generation. Now, when was the Torah given, actually? In the 26th generation, because we have 10 dorot to Noah, 10 dorot to Abraham, and another 6 dorot to Moshe. So now, what do they say? Really, there were supposed to be 1,000 generations. There were only 26. Why? Because God saw that the world can't survive without the Torah. So we had to give the Torah early. In which case, there were 974 generations that were already planned to be born. And now they weren't able to be born. And that's what it means, Asher Kumtu, that were cut off. These people's generations were cut off. Now what happened to all those people that were supposed to be born? So God plants them in every generation. That's Shtalan, okay? He plants them into every generation. And they are the Azei Panim Shebedor. They're the people that are the, what's the word Azei Panim? The brazen, you know, chutzpanim. Okay, they're the people that don't behave appropriately in every generation. I didn't exactly get, maybe because they're annoyed that they were supposed to be born earlier and they weren't, and they were cut off, they were, you know, everything was, right, like, often, if you think about it, when people are misplaced, right? They're not happy. They're not content. Like, these people are in the wrong place. They don't really belong. So that's what he says. Okay? That's how he understands this pasuk. So now, what's the connection to this Nahar Dinur? What's going on here? These people come out of Nahar Dinur. Okay? How do you know that? Because Asher Kumtu velo eit. Nahar Yutzak Yisodam. The Nahar was what was, and I think the Nahar image here is that washed them away. 1 second. This sort of suggests
that the
that they uprooted them from being born. In other words, that's what I think. The Nahar basically came and took them away so that they wouldn't be born at that point. Yeah, what does that suggest?
That Hashem drove them out of his world and wanted to put them in Gehinnom, but he couldn't put them in Gehinnom without a reason, so he planted them in the generation so that they'd mess up and sin, and then he would have a reason to put them
okay.
in Gehinnom.
I see. Okay, so there's an explanation like that they were supposed to belong in Gehinnom, and therefore they get planted every generation so that they can actually end up belonging in Gehinnom because of their acts. Obviously, that negates our concept of Bechira Chofshit. although, again, you could say it's Bechira Chofshit. It's just that God puts them in a place where they don't belong, and then they struggle, right? We know that when kids are put in a place, or adults are put in a place where they don't belong, they struggle. So maybe, you know, again, a little bit takes away the Bechira Chofshit. On the other hand, they still have the ability to figure out how to handle it, but, you know, they're obviously more challenged than other people. Okay, this is an interesting... interesting section. Now, the pasuk asher kumtu velo eit sounds negative, right? They were cut off before their time, and nahar yitzak yisodam, and that they're saying the nahar there, they're connecting with the nahar dinur that's mentioned in Daniel. But Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar asher kumtu libracha, it's dafka bracha. Dichtiv elu tamidei chachamim shemikamtin atzman al divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magale lehem sod la'olam haba, Shneamar Nahar Yutzak Yisodam. Okay, they take that pasuk and they turn it into a positive. He says this pasuk means mikamtim, means you make yourself wrinkled. That's what happens, right? If you stay in a bath too long, you'll get wrinkled, right? They absorb themselves so much in Torah that they get wrinkled from it. Again, you can explain it in all different ways. I'm sure there's many interpretations, but they basically wrinkle themselves al divrei Torah ba'olam hazeh, and therefore God gives them a sod la'olam haba. Okay, here this connects with our idea of all this sodot. And nahar yitzak yisodam here is taken as a positive, as God will create a nahar to be their base. In other words, he'll give them a good yesod, and that's the sod that he's going to reveal to them. Okay. Amar le Shmuel l'chia bar Rav. Bar Arya, he calls him the son of a lion. Okay, Shmuel says to Chia bar Rav, son of a lion. In other words, you're so great. Ta'em l'chamilta, not only are you great, right, but you're the son of an Aryeh. Your father was a great man. Ta'em l'chamilta, mehanim... Mahani mile malyuta dahava amaravucha. I'm going to tell you something from the words that your father used to say. Okay, one of the great things your father used to say. Kol yoma v'yoma nivrein malachei hasharei min har dinur va'amre shira ubatle shene'amar chadashim labkarim rabba munatecha. Okay, you've ever heard this pasuk, chadashim labkarim rabba munatecha? What tefillah of ours is based on this? Okay, there's a famous misconception. How would you read that? Bechemla Rabba Munatecha. It's not Bechemla Rabba. Some people think it's Bechemla Rabba. It's not. It's Bechemla Rabba Munatecha. Okay, because the Rabba Munatecha comes from this pasuk. How great is your belief? Okay, your also strength, right? So what does this mean? Chadashim labkarim rabba munatecha, that every morning, there's a different interpretation of this pasuk, angels are created to praise God. And they come from Nahar Dinur, okay, this place that we were talking about. That's where, right, he's saying there's tons of angels there. They come every day, and then they die. In other words, they praise God, and then they die. It's like their job was to praise God for the day, and then they're no longer. Upliga de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. Okay, and this statement that he brought in the name of, right, Shmuel said this to Chia bar Rav in the name of his father, Rav, and now they say that this statement is cholek on Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rav Yonatan. Kol dibor v'dibor shiyotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nivra mimenu malach echad shene'emar b'dvar Hashem shamayim nasu uvruach piv kol tzva'am. Okay, every time God, right, a word comes out of God, an angel is created. Right, whereas one is kind of saying the angels are, say, Shiva, and they're destroyed. Here it seems to indicate that angels are constantly created. Although, why is it a total contradiction? It's actually a little, it's just kind of different. I see. One comes from the Nahar Dinur, and one comes from the mouth of God. I see. It's where they come from that the issue is. Okay. Ketuv echad omer, libushei kitzlag chiver, v'sa'ar One second, let me just look at the whole pasuk. There's a here. Chazeh havat adi karsavan. This is a dream of Daniel. He sees chazeh havat. I saw adi karsavan. His chair. Remiv atik yomin yitiv yitiv. Okay, he's going to sit there for days. Levushe kitzlag chiver. His clothes are white like snow. Tzlag is sheleg. Tap and shin. Switch in Aramaic. Usa'ar reshe ka'amar nika. It's like the white special wool. Okay, his hair is white. So here you see this image of God with white hair. Okay, this is like a great thing, right? We look at artists, how they depict God, right? Does he have white hair? Okay, on the other hand, what do we have? A different pasuk. Uktiv kivutzotav tatalim shchorot. Right? Ke'orev. That's in Shir HaShirim. There's a description of God that, right, because it's all, and assuming it's an analogy, right, this Gemara assumes that it's all really talking about God. His hair is black, curly hair. So what do they say? Lo kasha kam b'yeshiva, kan b'milchama. This is a great line. How do you perceive God? Is he an old man or is he a young man, right? So it depends. Damar mar, ein lecha na'e b'yeshiva, ela zaken. Ve'ein lecha na'e b'milchama, ela b'chor. Yefeh, right? When you go out to war, you want these strong, black-haired, right? But when you go out to, when you sit and learn, you want someone old who has knowledge and understanding. Ketuv echad omer, karse shivivan dinur, uketuv echad omer adi kesivan rama v'atik yomin yativ. Okay, we take the same pasuk and we say it contradicts somewhere else. Karse is his chair, and adi karsivan means his chairs. So does God have one chair or does God have two chairs? Lo kashya, echad lo, ve'echad le David. Okay, here's an interesting concept, right? That David is sitting up there with him in Shemayim. Kedetanya, echad lo, ve'echad le David, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Akiva. Amatay ato se shechina chol. How could you talk about David being up in Shemayim with God? Right? It's like an insult to God. It's as if God is chol. Ela, echad le din, ve'echad le tzedakah. Okay, one is for judgment, one is for righteousness. Okay. Kiblamine or lo kiblamine? Now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Did Rabbi Akiva accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili's statement or did he not? So now they say, Tashma, come and learn from a different source. Echad ledim ve'echad letzaka divrei Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Rabbi Akiva says exactly what Rabbi Yossi Aglili said. He changes his mind. Okay, but that's not the end of the story. Amar le Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, malacha etzel Haggadah. He says, what are you doing with drashot, Rabbi Akiva? This isn't your place, right? He doesn't even call him Rabbi Akiva. He says Akiva, right? Akiva, why are you talking about this stuff? You don't know anything about this. Go back to your negaim and olot. You know a lot about that stuff. Stick to your area of expertise. Don't start talking mumbo jumbo about things you don't know. Ela echad lekisev echad leshrafraf. Kisei leshev alav, shrafraf lahadom raglav. Shenemar hashamayim kisei v'aretz hadom raglai. So he tells him, it's really a chair and a footrest. And you see that from this pasuk, that the shamayim is my chair, and the aretz is my footrest. And the God has two chairs, it's really one chair that has two parts to it. Well, you see here, that's interesting, and then I'll get to you in a minute. Poor Rabbi Akiva, right? I mean, first he said one thing, and then they reject it. And then he said another thing, and then, right, then he goes by what his rabbi says, and then he rejects it also. Now, maybe we can connect this to something we're going to learn later about this relationship between student and rabbi, and how, you know, he took something, and what basically Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying is, you weren't careful about what you accept. Like, you accepted things from your rabbi without really thinking about it, and you have to be careful, especially in this world of sodot, right? He calls it Haggadah here, but it's really this secret world to start saying things that you don't really properly understand. The other thing I was thinking is, if you think about these images, right, so you can see the difficulty with David, because what's David HaMelech doing up in Shemayim, right? Our image is supposed to be just of God, maybe angels, but certainly not people. But the other one, about Echad Ledin ve'Echad LeMishpat, it sounds a little bit like two gods, right? And there was this whole thing going on in that period about, you know, there are two gods, and whoever says modim modim, they mishatkin oto, because it sounds like he's praying to two gods. And I think the concept of there being a chair for this and a chair for that seemed reminiscent of this concept of these two gods that was going on in, you know, other religions, and this concern of, you know, thinking that there's more than one God, and that concern. What did you want to say?
No,
on
it?
No? Okay.
It just seems weird that Akiva, he says this is not your expertise, when Akiva's the one who went to Pardes and actually came back.
Right. Yeah, fair.
So
it could be this is happening before that happens. It could be.
Even if it's after, the Koran suggests on the side that there were two possible other things. One is that if he's not careful with his words, other people might misinterpret his intention. And he said it and it means correctly, but only those within the circle would understand him correctly, whereas those people outside would either misinterpret and not understand, or misinterpret, and that's why he talks about chulin. That
makes
something...
Ah, yafe. You're making a chol. In other words, you're turning it into something that...
into
Uh-huh. And you shouldn't really speak about it. In other words, maybe you understand it, but be careful about how you speak about it, because it's going to turn it into chol for other people who won't understand. It also could be that he understood it and he was right, but they thought he was wrong because they didn't understand it.
Right.
And so there's all different possibilities. The fact that they call him Akiva, you know, without respect... Either it's that he's showing lack of respect for him, or maybe it was when Rabbi Akiva was a little bit younger and not at, you know... although, the truth is, it doesn't make sense now that I think about it, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was 18 when he became the Nasi, right? And at that point, Rabbi Akiva was one of the Mu'amadim for the Nasiut. So you can't actually say that unless you're talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah before that, you know, when he was 5 years old, right? I mean, it's not so possible. So the truth is, it makes more sense that he was just being disrespectful to Rabbi Akiva because he didn't think that... It's hard to say that Rabbi Akiva wasn't Rabbi Akiva at that point, historically. So, assuming that you take this as a historical account also.
Well,
in other
also,
words,
I think that his Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had more yichus.
He did have more yichus.
In which case, maybe he felt, therefore, that he could... You know, sort of alluding to either because you don't.
Right, no, so that's what I'm saying. It can't be, though, that Rabbi Akiva wasn't Rabbi Akiva at that point, that he was younger and not as learned, because at that point, when he became Nasi, when he was 18 only, Rabbi Akiva was already one of the options. He wasn't chosen because he didn't have Zechut HaVot, because his fathers weren't. But it could be why there was a little bit of tension here about this. What do you know, and how do you know this? Okay. Kiyatar of Dimi Amar Shmona Asrei Klalot Kilel Yeshayahu Et Yisrael Velonit Karadato Ad Shamar Lehem Amikra Ze. Okay, Yeshayahu cursed the Jewish people with 18 curses, and he didn't calm down. Like, he didn't say, "Ah, that's enough," until he said this one last curse: Yirhavu Hanar Bizakem VaHanikle BaNichbad. Okay, what does that mean? That the Na'ar is going to speak disrespectfully to the Zaken, and the person who's not respectable is going to speak disrespectfully to the person who deserves respect. Like, everything's going to be opposite. Shmona Asrei Klalot Ma'ininu. So what are these 18? Dichtiv, Ki Hineh Ha'adon Hashem Tzva'ot, Mesir MiYerushalayim UMiYehuda. Now we're going to start with our list of 17 things, because this is the 18th, the one we just read. Mash'en u'mash'ena, kol mash'en lechem v'kol mash'en mayim, gibor v'ish mechamash, shofet v'navi v'kosem, v'zaken, sar chamishim. Ah, now we see why we're getting to this. Do you remember? We're going to now list the five people that you're allowed to reveal the divrei sod to. Sar chamishim u'nesu panim v'yo'etz v'chacham kershim u'nivon lachash. Okay, so those are listed among the people that God is going to take out of Yerushalayim. This is all the curse. Benatati na'arim sarehem v'ta'alulim yimshalubam. Okay, now they're going to go through who are all these people. Mash'en is something to lean on. So what's mash'en? Elu ba'alei mikra. Because we lean on the Torah, right? Everything leans on there. Mash'ena elu ba'alei mishna. Kigon Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema b'chavirath. Pligu bar papa v'rabanan. Chad amar shesh meot sidrei mishna. V'chan amar shvameot sidrei mishnah. Okay? There's a machloket here. Interesting. How many sidrei mishnah were there? 600 or 700? Now, we only know six of them, right? According to this, in earlier times, before Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, before Hillel and Shammai, or around their time, there were 600 or 700 sidrei mishnah. Okay? Then they got lost. Right? This is all in the time period where they were worried about the Torah getting lost, and that's why they started, you know, memorizing, you know, passing down and writing things that they originally weren't allowed to write. So they, according to this, right, I assume it's exaggeration, but there were either 600 or 700 Sidrei Mishnah, of which we're only left with six. Okay, that's how much Torah was lost. I think it's an exaggeration to show how much Torah was actually lost. כל מה שאין לחם, אלו בעלי תלמוד, שנאמר, לכו לחמו בלחמי ושתו ביין מסכתי. Right? That's, go eat with my bread and drink with my wine. That means, right, what do you do when you eat and you drink? You discuss, you deal with it. That's the Talmud. It gets into things. וכל מה שהם מים, אלו בעלי אגדה, why is that? שמושכים ליבו של אדם כמים באגדה. The אגדה pulls, it's מושך לב האדם. Right? This stuff is so interesting, someone said before class, right? Because it's moshech lev ha'adam. Okay, so there's more than the halachic stuff. And like water. Water, you know, if you get caught up in water, it brings you along. It's moshech otcha. Gibur ze ba'al shmu'ot. This is really interesting. What is ba'al shmu'ot? It's someone who passes down the mesorot of his rabbi. Why is that called a gibur? Right? I was thinking about, what's ezuhu gibur ha'koveshet yitzro? So why is that so appropriate? It's not so easy to just pass down your rabbi's Torah. Most people want to say, oh, I can be mechadesh and I can say my own thing, right? But to stick with what your rabbi says and pass it down, that requires strength of character, to be able to be confident in yourself enough to be able to pass it down. Milchama, ze sheyodea lisav alitem b'milchamta shel Torah, sorry, ish milchama, right? That's someone who can argue an argument of Torah. Shofet ze dayan shedan din emet lamito. Navi kimashma'o, that's obvious. Kosem, this is an interesting one. Ze melech. A melech is considered a kosem. Shenemar kesem al sifte melech. Okay? Why he's considered a kosem, there's different opinions about it, right? Whether he has the people's respect and that's like a magical power that he can have his power over the people. Whether he needs to, you know, kesem also sometimes means charm, right? Often kings have a lot of charm and charisma. There's definitely other interpretations also. Zaken zeshe ra'oi li yeshiva. That's someone who's ra'oi to be Rosh Yeshiva. Sar Hamishim. Now we're going to finally get into this interpretation. What's the Sar Hamishim in the Supanim and all the other things? Sar Hamishim. I'll take Sar Hamishim ala Sar Chumashim. Chumashim. Sorry. The pshat of Sar Hamishim is someone who's 50 years old. But here they say it's Sar Chumashim zeshe yodea li sav li tem b'chamisha chumshei Torah. Davar acher, sar chamishim, k'drabi avau, dam rabi avau, mikan she'em amidim mitorgaman al hatibor pachom b'chamishim shana. Okay, so there's the two interpretations. Either he's 50 years old, or he's sholet al achumash. Nisupanim, which is hard because we already have Baalei Mikra, right? So what's the difference? But you could say one is Tanakh and one is Torah. Nisupanim, ze shenos'im panav l'doro ba'avuro, l'mala. What does that mean? That God is nosei panim for the generation because of this person. If you remember from Ta'anit, kegon Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, do you remember they didn't have rain? And because of the tzchuyot of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, God gave the people rain. So here you see, because of his tzchuyot, God is nosei panim. And lemata, sometimes you also have a nesu panim lemata. What does that mean? That the malchut, who's ruling at the time, right, the foreign rulers, are nosei panim to the Jewish people because of this guy. They're going to give an example. Kigon Rabbi Avau be Kesar. The way Rabbi Avau was in the house of the Kesar is a nesu panim lamata. Yo'etz, ze sheyodea la'aber shanim ulikbo chodeshim. Okay, it's a certain talent you have if you're able to know when we have to do the ibor shana and when we have to make Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh, right, sometimes it was by the moon, and sometimes they also did it because there were things they had to calculate, right? You know how to calculate, do calculations. Bechacham zet tamid hamachkimit rabotav. That's a nice one. He makes his rabbi smarter, right? Because he asks good questions, it makes his rabbi think more and learn more. Chershim, b'sha'a shepotech b'divrei Torah ha'kol na'asin chershim. Everybody's quiet when he starts to speak, because they're amazed by what he says. Univon ze davar azem ibin davar mitoch davar. Okay, understands what's the word? Inductive thinking, is that what they call it? Right?
Deduces.
That's what I was thinking. Deductive thinking. You can learn something from another. Lachash ze shev oilim sur lo divrei Torah shenit na belachash. Okay, this goes back to our concept, right? He can understand things that should be understood secretly. In other words, he's ra'oi to get those things. V'natati na'arim sarehem. My v'natati na'arim sarehem. Amar Rabbi Elazar, elu b'nei adam shemnu'arim min ha-mitzvot. Not na'arim, but they're minu'arim. The mitzvot are shaken off of them. They don't do mitzvot. V'ta'alulim yim shalubam. What is that? Amar Rav... Acha, I should say. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Ta'ale b'nei Ta'ale, foxes, the sons of foxes. That they're so far removed, right? The Ta'alul is a fox, so the fox, the son of a fox, is going to rule them. It's the lowest of the lows. The lonit kararada to ad shamar lahem yirhavu hanar b'zaken v'nikleb v'nichbad, elu b'nei Adam shemenu arimin ha-mitzvot, yirhavu b'misha mimula b'mitzvot kirimon. Here we get something Rosh Hashanah related, right? Those who are mele'im mitzvot kirimon are going to be attacked or disrespected by the ones who have no mitzvot. V'nikleb v'nichbad, what's nikle nichbad? Yavo misha chamurot omot alav kekalot, v'yirhavu b'misha kalot omot alav kechamurot. There's people who take the serious mitzvot not seriously. They treat them like kalot. And they're going to be disrespectful to those who take the serious, the light mitzvot and treat them seriously. Amar Rav Katina, afilu b'sh'at kishlona shel Yerushalayim lo pasku mehem ba'alei amana. Okay, even when Yerushalayim was in its downfall, there were still people who believed in God, okay, or who were honest, honest, good people. Shenemar, ki etfos ish b'achi beit aviv. One of the things they used to describe how bad the situation was, they're going to say that there was no ruler, basically, and people tried to find a ruler, and they couldn't. Ki etfos ish b'achi beit aviv, asimla lecha, katzin tielanu. One guy takes someone from his father's house, a brother from his father's house, and he says, look, you have a simla. You should be our katzin. In other words, you've learned Torah. You should be the one, right? In other words, there's nobody left. You got to take charge. What does the guy say to him? So first of all, why simla? Dvarim shebnei adam mitkasim kisimla yeshlam tachat yadecha. Remember that? The people hide underneath their clothes, the secret stuff, you know. That's how the puzzle continues. My v'machshela hazot, dvarim she'em b'nei adam umtim aleihem elin kein nechshal b'hem yeshna tachat yadecha. Sometimes people learn only by stumbling upon them. So they're saying the things that people stumble upon them and then learn how to do them, you already know. You don't have to stumble upon them. Yisa b'yom ahu lemor lo eyechovesh ubibeti ein lechem ve'ein simla lo tisimuni katzin. Okay, what does that mean? It means that he's going to then answer you on that day saying, I can't do the job, okay? I'm not going to be a chovesh. Bebeiti, in my house, there's no lechem and there's no simla. I don't have Torah, okay? I don't got what you think I have. Okay, now why does this show that there's people that are ba'alei emunah? Okay, first of all, it says, Yisa ein yisa ela lashon shfu'a. Okay, what does yisa mean? He's going to swear. Shneamar lo tisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha. From there we learn yisa means he swears. Lo eyechovesh. What is he saying here? Lo ayiti michovshei beit hamidrash. Okay, I wasn't from those who went to the beit midrash. Ubebeiti en lechem ve'en simla. She'em yadi lo mikra v'lo mishna v'lo gemara. I don't have it. Okay, I don't have that stuff. I never learned it. So what do you see here? That there were honest people. Okay, somebody said be the leader, and he said, listen, I didn't learn, I never learned. He wasn't embarrassed to say it. He was honest, and he said, right, it's true, he was not willing to be the leader, but he was honest, and that's what you see here. So now they say, what do you mean? Maybe he wasn't being honest. Dil mashane hatam, di amr lehu gemirna, amr le, emalan, one second, hold on the memer, okay, amr le, emalan, if he had said, yes, I learned, they're trying to say he had no choice but to tell the truth. Because if he had said, I learned, Amrei Le, they would have said to him, Emalan, so tell us. And then he would have been really embarrassed, right? So he was better off telling the truth than lying and then getting stuck. And they say, no, that's not true. He wasn't stuck. He could have had something to say. Havele lememar gamar v'shachach. Okay? He could have said, you're right, I did learn, but I forgot what I learned. Okay? Because then it would have been less embarrassing for him. So here you see he was really honest. My lo yechovesh klal. Okay, I'm not going to be a chovesh at all. Ini, could that really be true? V'hamar Rava lo chara Yerushalayim. Sorry. So they're saying here he could have said gamar v'shachach, and instead he said lo yechovesh, meaning I never learned in the Beit Midrash. I was never there once. So now they say, do you really think that there were still people who were honest in Jerusalem? V'hamar Rava lo chara Yerushalayim ad shepaskumi mena ba'alei amanah. It says that there were no people. That's when Jerusalem was destroyed, and there was absolutely nobody trustworthy. Im timsu ishim yesh oseh mishpat mevakesh emunah. In other words, I went around Yerushalayim and, you know, go look around Yerushalayim and show me. Is there anybody? Right? Sounds a little like the Stoma Amora, right? If there's anybody, the Pasuk says, then I'll forgive them. So how could there be? There were these Baalei Amanah. So how do you say on the one hand there were and on the other hand there weren't? So now they have a great answer. Lo kashya habu divrei Torah habu masau matan. B'divrei Torah habu, b'masau matan lo habu. There were no honest business people. Business people were all dishonest. There were some honest people when it came to talking about Torah, so they would say, I never learned. Okay? They were honest about that, but there was nobody honest in business dealings. That was all gone. Which a little bit is reminiscent of, right, there's the religious life and there's the social, the chevrati type of life. And they talk a lot about echtava ashuv, right? The people were bringing sacrifices, but they were meaningless. So you could say here they were learning Torah, but it was meaningless. Or they were honest about Torah, but it didn't help. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Here we get to a really great story. Okay, I'm gonna, if we have time, I read an article about Yonah Frankel on this in the book Sipur HaAgadah. It's called Achdut Shel Tochen V'Tzura. He analyzes Sipurei HaAgadah. We'll see if we can mention a little bit of what he says. Tana Rabbanan. He takes a literary approach. It's very interesting. Ma'aseh b'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shaya rochev al hachamor. V'haya malech b'derech. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach mechamer acharav. You remember him from Pirkei Avot? He was one of the students. We have five students. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students, and one of them was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. He was the Ma'ayana mitgaber. Okay, so he was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is walking after him on his camel, on his donkey. Sorry, Amar lo, Rabbi, shneili perik achav ma'aseh merkava. He says, Rabbi, teach me a perik in ma'aseh merkava. Amar lo, lo kach shaniti lachem, v'lo b'merkava b'yachid. Didn't I teach you? We don't do merkava b'yachid. Elen ken haya chacham mevi midato. Unless it's a chacham mevi midato. Now it's unclear what does this mean here. Does he mean you're not a chacham, or does he mean prove to me you're a chacham? You know, unclear. Okay, but you see here that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is not willing to do it without his rabbi's permission. Amar lo, Rebbe tarsheni lomar l'panecha davar achad shelimadatani. Will you allow me to say one thing that you taught me? Again, like, is he trying to prove that he knows, that he's ready? On the other hand, we're going to see that what he starts teaching is the Ma'aseh Merkava. So it's, again, it seems here that really he wants to talk about the Ma'aseh Merkava, but he's not willing to do it. What you see here is this rabbi-talmud relationships, and you're going to see that the whole thing switches at the end. But in the beginning, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach has a lot of respect for his rabbi. He's not willing to say anything unless his rabbi gives him permission, basically. Okay? And then when he's willing to, when he says, you know, well, kind of inviting him to speak in a weird kind of way by saying, I told you only if you're a chacham, so he's now going to say, well, I'm going to teach something that you already taught me. Again, with this attitude of respect that you're the rabbi on the Talmud, I can't do anything out of those boundaries. Amar lo emor, so he gives him permission. Okay, now what's interesting, obviously, is that the Gemara doesn't tell us what he said, because that would be Ma'aseh Merkava, we can't learn that. Miyad yara Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai me'al hachamor v'nitatef yashav al ha'even tachad hazayit. Okay, this is very interesting. What happens? First of all, it's miyad, okay? Immediately, everything changes. Instead of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai being higher, right, he comes down. He comes off his chamor, and he's nitatef yashav al ha'even, almost like he's lowering himself. Why tachar hazayit, right? What that? I'm sure there's some, you know, the Evan and the Zayit, the light of Torah, maybe. Okay, I'm sure you can go all sorts of places with this Evan, the Zayit. We're going to see the Evan later also when we talk about the Pardes. Amar lo Rebbe mipnei ma yarad etame al hachamor. So he says, why did you come down? Amar efshar tadoresh b'maaseh merkava ushchina imanu umalachei hashemayim melavin otanu v'anir kava lachamor. Okay, he says if you're going to start teaching about Ma'aseh Merkava. All of a sudden, you see that he realizes that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach does have what it takes, because he starts saying, right, everyone's going to be with us as soon as you start talking, so I want to be in my place.
It's just strange, though. It is actually very disrespectful.
What's disrespectful?
Because the fact that Elazar ben Arach knows that he's not supposed to be learning Merkava, and, you know, when his teacher says, well, prove to me that you're ready, he dafka does what he knows he's not supposed to do. Like, it
he, sounds very. You're saying he teaches it. What?
Well, how does he know it if he hasn't learned it yet?
Right. It's a little weird. How does he know it if he hasn't learned it? And why is he asking to teach it? This is like yesterday. We saw another sugi where someone asked to teach it and he already knew it, right? The Sabe Pumbedita, I think it was, right? They asked to teach and they already knew it. Could be he wanted to discuss it. In other words, that's really what's going on here. But you're saying he's being disrespectful because he's teaching it anyway? And that's why Rabbi Yochanan comes down, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes down because he realizes, oh, something's about to happen that I didn't really want to happen. That could be. That's very likely here. Okay, so now what does he say? Miyab patach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach b'maseh merkava. Okay, what's interesting also is he doesn't start before he asks his rabbi a question again, right? He asks him, why did you come off the chamor? Which also I think is showing, right? He's still asking his rabbi questions. He's still in that mode, I'm subservient to you. But then everything switches here. First of all, you see the miyad and the miyad, right? Miyad, he comes off the chamor, Ben Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? And then miyad, patach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. They're trying to stress something here with this miyad. B'masemer kava v'darash. V'yarda esh min ha-shamayim. V'sibiva kol ha-ilanot shebasodeh. Okay, now we don't know yet whether this is good or bad. We've already seen fire, right? We saw the student who died with the fire, the child. So all of a sudden, the fire comes down, surrounds all the trees that are in the sadeh. Patchu kulam va'amru shira. Okay, now all of a sudden, all the trees start saying shira. Ma shira amru, what did they say? Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, haninim v'chol tomot, eitz pri v'chol arazim. Okay, all the trees start praising God. Yes. Well, that's also this miraculous thing that the trees aren't burning necessarily, right? There's this fire, and the trees are still alive, and they're singing. Okay? So the malach comes out from the fire. By the way, if you notice, first the fire comes down, right? Then the shirim, then the trees start, and then the malach comes back from the esh. And he says, this is ma'aseh merkava. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai unishakor roshova amar Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael shenatam ben Avraham Avinu sheyodeh lahavin lachkur v'lidrosh b'maaseh merkava. Okay, how great is the son of Avraham Avinu? It's interesting. He doesn't say how great am I that I have a student like this, right? How lucky am I even that I have a student like this, right? He goes all the way back to Avraham. It's not really about him. Yesh ne'ed oresh ve'ein ne'ed mekayem ve'ein ne'ed oresh atah ne'ed oresh v'ne'ed mekayem. Okay? Some people know how to learn, but they don't know how to do mitzvot. Some people know how to do mitzvot, but they don't know how to learn. You know how to do both. Okay? And here, what Frankl wants to stress is that really this story has nothing to do with Ma'aseh Merkava. And he's saying that the Ma'aseh Merkava is just used here as a tool. Okay? He says that's why it doesn't talk at all about why what the Ma'aseh Merkava he said was. And the real issue here is it's trying to show the relationship between the student and the teacher. And what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says in the end is that you know how to walk that fine line between respect for your rabbi and yet saying what you learned and saying what you know. And it's a very tricky business, right? And we know from all sorts of stories in the Gemara that there's always this, not always were the rabbis respectful to each other and not always, right? And there's this fine balance between being a Talmid that knows maybe more than your rabbi and how do you handle that when you do. And that he says this whole thing is really talking about, he actually brings after the story in the Rishalmi and tries to compare the versions and what they're not majorly different. Sometimes they have stories that are majorly different. They're not majorly different, but it's a little bit different the way it's described and how the message in each is somewhat different. Anyway, he tries to say this is one of these stories that really stresses the relationship between the rabbi and the student. It goes on one more sentence. Ashrecha Avraham Avinu Shalazar ben Arach yatza mechalatzecha. Now, the story somewhat continues. When he heard this story, why don't we also learn Ma'aseh Merkava? By the way, one thing he pointed out, I don't remember what point he made of this, but that the word dorshin is never mentioned here. He says shneili, which is repeat for me, right? L'shanein is very different from lidrosh. Lidrosh is to delve into, whereas lishnot is to repeat. And the whole story, he kept saying, repeat for me. And he never said dorshin. Okay, but they actually must have misunderstood the story because they say, we'll also be doresh from Ma'aseh Merkava. Patach Rabbi Yoshua v'darash. So Rabbi Yoshua starts learning. Boto yom tkufat tamuz haya, it was the summer. Nitkashu shamayim ba'avim v'nir'e k'min keshe ba'anan. V'ayu malachei, okay, so it starts to rain, which never happens in the summer. V'ayu malachei asheret mitkabtzimu ba'in lishmoa, k'bnei adam shemitkabtzimu ba'in lir'ok b'mazmutei chatam v'kala. Okay, they came to hear like as if it was, they were rejoicing like in a simchat chatam v'kala. Halach Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the Siperet Varim Lepnei Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. You can see these stories got passed down, right? He said, oh, look what I saw. V'amar Ashrechem v'ashrei yoladetchem, Ashrei einai shekach ra'u, V'af ani v'atem b'chalomi mesubin hayinu al har Sinai, V'natzna aleinu bat kol min ha'shamayim, Alu lekan, alu lekan. Traklim gdolin u'matzaot na'ot mutzaot lachem. Atem v'tamidechem v'tamidei tamidechem muzmanim lekat shlishit. And what exactly this kach lishit is, it's unclear. Okay, but he says basically, wow, how amazing you guys are. By the way, Ashrei Yoladetchem comes up by one of his students. Ashrei Yoladeto, he says by one of his students. It was obviously a thing he used, you know, a phrase he used. So he says, Ashrei, that I saw this, and I saw this chalom. We were all in Har Sinai, and a bat kol came down and said, come up with us. There's a traklin, there's a big hallway, and there's chairs set up for you, and you guys are all invited to be part of this kach lishit. Ini, could this really be the case? V'hatanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, omer shalosh har tsa'otin. There's three people who taught this ma'aseh merkava. Rabbi Yoshua hirtza dvarim lefnei Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva hirtza lefnei Rabbi Yoshua. Hananya ben Chachinai hirtza lefnei Rabbi Akiva. V'ilu, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, lo kachashiv. Okay? Why is it Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, if this story really happened, mentioned in this list of people who taught the ma'aseh merkava in front of other people? So how do you say that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach did it? So what do they say? This list that it brings about these three people, the Hartzaot, it's de'artze v'artzu kameh. If you notice something similar about two of these people, two of the people listed, right, Rabbi Yeshua did it before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva did it before Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua's twice. And Hananya ben Chachinai did it before Rabbi Akiva. So two of those people, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, were lectured to and lectured. Okay, and that's what they're saying. This is a list of people who were lectured to and lectured themselves. De'artzu v'artzu kameh. Okay, they did it before him. Kachashuv. That's what this list. And therefore, it didn't list Rabbi Elazar ben Arach because he only taught it. He wasn't lectured to. So then they say, De'artzu v'artzu kameh lo kachashuv v'hachaninya ben chachinai de lo artzu kameh. Except there's a third guy listed here, Hananya ben chachinai, and nobody taught to him. So why is he listed here? The kachashuv. So what do they say? De'artze mia kameh man de'artze. 1 second. De'artze mia kameh man de'artze. They taught before him. I think he was, 1 second. It means he was taught to. Is that what they're saying? 1 second. De'artze mia kameh man de'artze. That's what it means. He was marzeh before people who were taught by. In other words, what's this all getting at? That this has to be passed down by Masorah, and maybe that's why these words are used, Mosrim, right? That he taught to someone who was lectured to, and that it's all part of this Masorah. Okay? Now we're going to get to, we'll start very briefly, and we'll really get into this tomorrow, about this Arba'an Nechnesu LePardes. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Arba'an Nechnesu BePardes. Okay, what is Pardes? Okay, there's different interpretations. Rashi says, Alu LaRakia Al Yedei Shem. They recited the name of God and got up to the Rakia. Okay, there's different explanations that they get up to the Rakia. Tosfot says, V'lo Alu LaMala Mamash. He says, come on, Rashi, you're saying what? They went up Lamala? They didn't go all the way up Lamala. They just got closer, right? And it appeared to them as if they had gone up Lamala. Okay? And they somehow got into this knowledge of God that nobody else was able to reach. Ve'eluhin, ben Azai, ben Zoma, Acher, v'Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Amar lahem Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to them, "Kshatem migim etzal avnei shayish tahor." Okay, when you get up to Shamayim, you get to these avnei shayish. That's why I said we're going to see this Evan later. Okay, this Evan image. There's avnei shayish lemala. This is a great statement. Al tamru mayim mayim. Don't think that this is water. What's the issue with water? You get up there and you see there's water. What do you say? Oh, I can't pass here, right? Okay? Your mind plays tricks on you, right? This is what I think is going on here. You see avanim, avnei shayish, they're sparkling, right? So they look like water. So what do you think? It's mayim, mayim. So what does he say? Why can't you say this? Mishum shenemar dover shkarim lo yikon lenegereini. Okay, what does that mean? It's a lie, right? You're speaking lies. And what does it mean you're speaking lies? Why would that be speaking lies? They get up to Shamayim, they see these avnei shayish, and they think it's water. So they say, oh, it's water, I can't go. Why is that lying? That's what they think, right? So what I thought of is really what's going on here. They're lying to themselves. It's a confidence issue, right? They think, oh, I can't go, right? And as you get so high, and then what happens when you try to do something that's really tough, your mind starts playing tricks on you and you lie to yourself. And you say, I can't do it. You know, I can't get past this part. And that's what they're doing here. They're saying, oh, I'm so close, but you know what? I'm just not going to make it. And that's what he says is going to be your problem. That's going to bring your downfall. It's when you think I can't do it, that's you're lying to yourself, basically. It's not lies to other people. It's really just lying to yourself. And that's what it's all about. And we'll see tomorrow what happened to everybody. And maybe this is also Rabbi Akiva. He's the only one we know that makes it out safely. And maybe this is what he's taught. This is what he thinks really messed people up. That they didn't have either the confidence or the, you know, they thought, oh, I can't. And then that made them see things that weren't really, right? Then your mind plays tricks on you. And that's why they all got messed up, because they saw things that weren't really truthful things. It wasn't really what they were supposed to see. Anyway, it's an interesting thing. And then we'll get into all sorts of stories of Elisha Ben Avia.